You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Christina Cruz. Christina, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Christina, we're going to talk about your show, of course, Field Agents at New Discretions in New York. I'm really looking forward to talking about this. I like the title, Field Agents. You know, that sort of feels like what, a mix between sort of what a FBI agent is or something, and also what art can do. You know, that's sort of my interpretation of that title, that art is out there in the world, like field agents, you know, that we're both responding to, and it's responding to us as well. That's just my impression. Can you tell me a little bit about Field Agents, that title?
Well, it kind of reminds me, or I was thinking about just general people roaming around the planet and trying to find their place, their space, and their composure, composition, disposition. And it reminded me just a little bit of, you know, agents in the field looking for something.
That we're all field agents in a way, looking for something.
Absolutely. Every single day.
Right. Looking for our field, you know, where are we?
Well, maybe just examining the field for starters and understanding where you're at, I think, is a good point to start from. So it makes sense. The title kind of makes sense that way.
So there's a number of mediums in this show. There's, of course, sculpture and wall relief and collage. And beginning with really wall relief and collage, let's talk about fault lines. Can you tell me about this work? This is a, you know, kind of wonderfully complex, looks almost like a corkboard type collage, but it also has that. I guess that's what led me to the kind of FBI association of field agents, where, you know, you see in movies, they have that map with all the pins and strings and things connecting, you know, the whole web of what they're trying to figure out in the world. And Fault Lines has a similarity of that to me. It feels like a vision, or a vision trying to be worked out.
Yeah, it's a little bit like an orientation map of one's own mind trying to navigate current circumstances, and also kind of trying to understand, okay, where am I standing in this, and, you know, where are my lines drawn or not? Started out just with a couple of notes. I got a little stuck on the sculptures in the original phase, or in the beginning phase, where I was really looking for common denominators in terms of values and morals. There's a great word in German called Anstand, which means kind of your own standing. I couldn't really. So what happened is I, in fact, built, you know, kind of a reaction to social challenges, shifts started in the Me Too movement, where I noticed unusual behavior, including myself. Maybe that's what was really a starting point there. Got a little unhinged at a dinner once, and that's somewhat unusual. And then I thought, wow, okay, I really need to think about my own values here and where I stand in terms of understanding others. So anyway, the collage started out with just a couple of notes and thoughts and quotes and materials that I thought were valuable and would equal thoughts you know, what is what's or values and morals. Let's call them morals, but also material has values. So how would I, what would I relate to what? What is maybe traditionally, you know, a solid value in terms of building something on, and that I can equate to a human value or a characteristical value, a mental value. And that's how that collage started. It was like a wild kind of, it's just a thought process. You know, think something and you attach notes to it, you associate materials with it. And
well, it's a type of writing, isn't it? It's almost like a autobiographical essay, so to speak. I mean, because this goes this is big. It's not just a few notes. It's a collection of notes, and it has it has a narrative arc to it, really, doesn't it? There's a story here.
You're basically it's a negotiation with yourself. You know, what thought can you pull across 18 foot, and which one will not make it all the way, because it's just not solid enough.
So in a way, this is that is field agent work, right? I mean, that is we're talking about.
You're examining your environment, boundaries. You know, a solid path, a rocky path, and within yourself to navigate current circumstances. So it is, it's kind of a big field. It always reminded me of a field. You know, which direction do you want? So I built the field.
But you're building a field, right? That's in part, I mean, you're building something that is also what you're trying to find, right? As we started out talking about a little bit, right? Our being a field agent, trying to understand what's around us is also part of what's happening there. I mean, that word that you mentioned, Unstand, which I don't know, can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because that sounds like it's very specific to that work as well.
It's Umstand is a different word than I used earlier. That would be Anstand.
Anstand, yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
But that's more a form of standing, how you compose yourself and how you interact with others. There's a, you know, kind of like an ethical code almost to that. Umstand would be a circumstance, but both, you know, are closely related. The stronger the Anstand, the heavier the Umstand can get. You know, you will not lose balance in that sense.
And does that relate to that the work we're talking about?
Yeah, it's yes, everything relates to that work. I think this field is very much an examination of one's own Anstand, Umstand, which would be your environment, and how to and testing your own limits of how to navigate. Where do you place values and where not within yourself in order to navigate through many different Umstände, which are circumstances?
And so in this show, how does that relate, that particular work relate to the other sculptures in the show, which we're going to talk about? How does that relate to the air, you know, translated, the porter, and contingent claim, which we're going to talk about? But just in kind of general terms, how does that relate to them?
It's really because there are so many variables in this and so many different situations. And if you take each grid, for example, there's a string built around the collage, and it sections, it makes little sections. So I thought, okay, let me look at these different sections and see if I can enlarge them. Would I be able for each section would I be able to translate the values in there onto a standalone wall work, for example? And then given the materials that are on the collage line, collage wall, it became, the material choices for the sculptures became evident through that. So wood is a pretty reliable value based on tradition, so stone. And I always liked plaster because there's something man-made about it, and also it was frequently used without, or art historically, without authorship. And I like that it indicates this notion of it doesn't belong to anyone yet, but it's there to fill a, to be someone. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Plaster, so, yeah, it's not like marble that feels like it was, you know, invented.
Also, marble is really strong. You know, once you carve something in marble, you have a pretty concrete fact there, or at least intentionally by the maker. The air, the Bronx sculpture, to me, was a reflection of the collage wall in a more if you combine everything that's going on in the collage wall and you put it into one fact. So all the forth and back, the right, the wrong, the yes, the no's on the collage wall all together create a certain state. And to me, that is what that state would potentially look like, the split front and the geometric and the organic shapes meeting in the back. And Bronx would make it a fact, nothing that is in the phase of being or becoming, but it is a concrete status quo, so to say.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's another work in here that's very beautiful, and it looks like there's maybe plaster in here, I'm not sure, but contingent claim, really interesting materials in here. Is that plaster in there? There's also wood and paint and a number of things, but it's a beautiful study of color and light here, so subtle here. Yeah, let's talk about this one. Contingent claim is a very unusual piece. Beautiful.
That is another wall work, and because I feel like there's a need for to create boundaries or to widen your claim onto grounds that aren't quite clear yet. And I thought, you know, this painting shouldn't have a frame because the original framing doesn't work anymore. We need to leave it loose so it has contingent claim to something larger than what it used to be confined in, or than it is traditionally confined in, because traditions right now are changing a little bit. Or what used to be traditional might not be so traditional anymore. So a regular frame would not really work, so it had to be open.
And the medium itself, is there, that's paint, is there also plaster there? The surface of that has a texture to it, has a depth to it, right? There's a few things happening there. I mean, there's an illusion as well of space and more, but
there are a couple of layers of fabric on there, grid-like fabric, or the grid is printed on that. And then there is pumice gel, oil, pencil, and that's it. So layers of that. Oil.
Right, and that band on the outside is what refers to the kind of a frame that in a way can't contain it is in part what you were saying. That's what we began talking about on this, that the meaning of that wood, which seems to be a deconstructed frame of some kind.
Well, it sits actually, if you were to attach it to the outer line of the canvas, it would perfectly fit. But I don't think it should be attached anymore because I don't think the framing has changed. Things need to be able to expand and widen. So I think framing in general, boundaries, all of that has changed a little bit, which is the overall subject really of this show, changing values and how do we change them and what needs to be done or what could be done. Though there aren't any answers in that exhibition, they're just moments that portray this possible change.
And then talking about that change, the changing values, there's another piece, the porter. Let's talk about that in that context. This also is very different imagery. Of course, it's quite different than, the air, fault lines that we've been talking about, or contingent claim, the wall piece. This is freestanding and seems to have, architectural and sculptural references in it, as well as, of course, as you're saying, narratives potentially pulled from fault lines, right?
So the porter is a very, almost like an architectural geometric construct that's very rigid, not very soft, not doesn't look very inviting. And it is anthropomorphic, the dimensions and the height. And the top's a little bit more on the organic side. And the porter was to me a sculpture that carries memories, but as permissions to build upon. And frequently we have this notion that tradition is, or at least right now, that tradition might be outdated, new rules, new this, new that, and everything gets kind of chopped off the block. But I do think there are values that really we have trusted and relied for a long time upon that should be carried into the future as well.
Thanks. It's been such a pleasure talking to you about this work. And of course, for listeners, there's more information here so they can really dive in and hopefully see the show. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading the news.
Well, thank you. Thanks. I guess that says it all. There's a lot there. Christina, I want to thank you for talking with me today. And again, for this beautiful show, I appreciate your time. Thank you again so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.